Good morning. I never quite know how to start this, but I realized today, listening to the plenary this morning, that I really think of condom work in the jails and prisons as being ultimately an extremely political process. And in a lot of ways, for those of us who try and manage condom distribution in jails and prisons, we're sort of handling our own don't ask, don't tell kind of program. And I am endlessly fascinated by how we're going to get out of that that place. Having said that, let me set the atmosphere. This photo is the San Francisco County Jail main line. It's a little small, but I hope you can see it. And the quote next to it is taken from the press release the San Francisco Sheriff issued in 1989. Announcing that the Forensic AIDS Project, my program, would begin making condoms available to prisoners in the jails. How did we get there? First of all, FAP is a program, as Jamie explained, of the Department of Public Health. And we are the division in public health responsible for providing health care to prisoners in all of the San Francisco County jails. As such, we are a guest in the house of the Sheriff's Department, which again goes back to some of the political aspects of this work. We have to work very closely with the sheriff. By 1984, the Sheriff's Department had already lost two deputies to HIV. This, taken in combination with what the sheriff described as, at that time, a near public panic about AIDS, and with a push from the Department of Public Health, left the sheriff feeling that he had a responsibility to provide AIDS education in the jails. FAP was already in 1983, we had one social worker who was already doing condom education in some of the housing units. Anyway, the sheriff explained that at that time they weren't so much concerned about transmission in the jails as they were about really seizing the opportunity to provide HIV education. The sheriff's department started handing out literature. In 1986, the sheriff's department began distributing to everyone leaving the jails a four-page booklet about HIV with a condom taped to the booklet. So that was the atmosphere when we approached the sheriff and suggested that we begin distributing condoms. Our plan at that time was very simple. We proposed that for everyone who participated in an HIV education session with us, that we would provide them with a condom as an educational tool to take back to their living unit to experiment with. So you will note that from this last bullet, we were the fifth correctional facility in the country to implement condom distribution. That was back in the 80s. And now here we are in the 21st century and we're still one of a handful of jurisdictions in this country doing that kind of work. Reaction to the sheriff's press release in 1989 was swift. The public expressed shock that sex was going on in a jail. And not only that, but they were also shocked that we were willing to talk about it. And the sheriff was very candid about saying, no matter what you do, sex is going to go on in a jail or a prison, and we have a public responsibility to acknowledge that fact. The deputies in the jails, however, had it much, and the public expressed that, and then when there weren't any more stories about condoms, there were no horror stories about what terrible things happened, they sort of moved on. The deputies, however, had some very concrete concerns, and I think these are fascinating because they come up again. The deputies were concerned, first of all, that condom distribution would create a permissive environment when in fact, sex in a jail is actually illegal. In other words, we were sending the wrong message by handing out condoms. They were concerned that condoms would be used to smuggle in drugs. They were concerned that condoms would be used to gas staff. Does everyone know what that means? That condoms would be stuffed with urine or feces and thrown at the deputy staff. And they were also concerned that condoms would result in an increase in jailhouse rapes. The Sheriff's Department to these concerns, both the public and the custodial, was to put posters up all over the jails announcing that anyone apprehended having sex in a jail would be arrested and prosecuted. The public health response from FAP was to develop a protocol which required that each prisoner requesting a condom must first participate in HIV education and counseling, and the condom would then would be handed out for educational purposes. Our counseling included not only HIV 101, but also involved reviewing the laws concerning sexual activity in jails and prisons, a reminder that having sex in jails is illegal. So that's the program we set up in 1989, and we have operated from that until 2007. In 2007, we began taking a look at our distribution, and we wanted to see what we learned and how we could increase access, because in truth, we didn't hand out a huge number of condoms. It's kind of one of those things that it's really difficult to get started, but once it gets started, it just kind of goes along on its own and has its own life. The first lesson that we looked at or realized is that we were asking our staff to deliver an extremely complex message. First of all, they were asked to say that having sex in a jail is illegal. But if you're going to have sex anyway, use a condom. If you're found with an open condom, it can be confiscated as contraband, and you can be charged with a rule violation just for having an open condom. Now, that's a pretty complex message to deliver, particularly in a jail setting where you don't have much privacy. We learned a couple more lessons. We realized that condom requests depended in large part on who was distributing the condoms. We had two staff people, one who was an older straight woman, and she reported that almost no one asked her for condoms. And then we had a young gay man who said that practically everyone asked him for condoms. So we realized that that's really a major factor in what happened when we handed out condoms. Another lesson we learned that it was in the more than 20 years of handing out condoms, there had been no confiscated condoms, no incidents of gassing, no reports of smuggling drugs in condoms, and no reports of increased sexual assaults. The last lesson that we realized from this program is that the support of the sheriff, not only of the sheriff's department, but in particular of the sheriff, made a huge difference. And again, that goes back to how important the political can be. So there we were in 2007, trying to figure out how we could increase condom access. And we were approached by Mary Silla from the Center for Health Justice. And she suggested that we consider piloting a condom machine somewhere in the jails. That seemed intriguing. So Mary and I and a woman named Olga Grinstead, who is a researcher from the Center for AIDS Prevention Studies, went and met again with the same sheriff, Michael Hennessy, to propose this pilot project. He was willing to try it, and it was he who suggested the gymnasium as a site for this pilot. We have 800 prisoners who pass through the gym on any given week. And we put the machine off to one side of the gym so that it allows just a tiny bit of privacy for someone trying to access a condom. And the condoms are free. We're not charging for them. But they're in a machine which dispenses one condom at a time. We went, Mary Silla in particular, and we went to every living unit in the jails to let all the prisoners know what we were doing. And we went to all of the musters of the sheriff's department to let the sheriff's deputies know what we were doing. This time, when it was announced that we were going to put this condom machine up, public reaction was non-existent. The day we started this, I got one call from the press, and when I explained that we'd actually been distributing condoms since 1989, they decided it was a non-story and it didn't even run. But, and here's what I think is really fascinating, the custody staff expressed the same concerns they'd raised in 1989. They were concerned about sending the wrong message, gassing, smuggling, and an increase in rapes. The other thing is that many of the staff, although we'd been handing condoms out since 1989, many of the staff weren't even aware that we had a condom distribution program in jails. These were the condom machine rules that we posted right next to our condom, right next to the machine. And we had them posted in English, Spanish, and Cantonese. And essentially, their directions on how to manage a condom. And I'll say a little bit more about that with the next slide. People were supposed to take only one condom per visit. And for a while, when people left the gym, the deputies for a couple of weeks, they searched people as they left the gym, and then they realized that that was consuming a lot of time and wasn't yielding much in the way of results, so they stopped doing it. This is our condom machine. And these are the condoms that come out of our condom machine. They come in a little cardboard box. And the sheriff was concerned that that the box itself could be used to jam locks. And so we had a huge trash can right next to the condom machine, and we asked that people discard the box and walk out with just the condom in a clear plastic wrapper. Now remember, we did this, actually I'm not sure I said that, we did this as a research project. Mary had secured funding, a small amount of funding, from the Center for AIDS Prevention Studies. And the research questions we asked this time was, what is the feasibility of distributing condoms using the condom machine? Does increased availability of condoms result in increased disciplinary issues? And does increased condom access result in increased sexual behavior in the jails? And these are the conclusions that Mary drew from the studies we did. And she interviewed deputy staff, she interviewed prisoners, both pre and post condom machine. Prisoners will take condoms from a public machine. Much less stigma than expected, and prisoners all said pretty much universally that they much preferred a machine to talking to a human being and asking for a condom. The program increased prisoner and staff awareness of condom availability. And this comes from interviewing the staff afterwards. There was no evidence that this novel condom access program increased sex in the jails. Staff indicated that discipline wasn't a problem, and the program, however, did not resolve the wrong message issue. Some of the staff continue to oppose this just on that basis, despite the fact that there haven't been any of the problems that they were concerned about. Based on these results, we support a condom access pilot for the California prison. So you see where this is going, and Kim will give you more information about what's gone on now in the state prisons. And these are my conclusions. And again, this is on the sort of political side. The partnerships are really crucial. Partnering with the Sheriff's Department was huge. And with our second condom access project, partnering with research facilities gave us an additional credibility in doing this. Research is a great vehicle for introducing a new concept into the jails, and pilot projects work. I think it's really important to talk about pilot projects. The fact that we framed this as a pilot project gave everyone the assurance that we would listen to people and that this wasn't a done deal, that we'd be open to feedback from people and that we'd be willing to change depending on what we found. The next slide is contact information. In addition to my name, I included Mary Sillas because Mary has done a tremendous amount of the research on condom distribution. And I want to read this conclusion. This is from Dr. Robert Fuller Love. Any reservoir of infection as large as a prison would warrant, by simple public health logic, that we do our best to reduce the risk of transmission. The issue has never been, do we understand what has to happen to reduce the risks? It's always been, do we have the political will necessary to put what we know is effective into operation? I want to thank everyone who worked with us in the jails. And this poster is from 1985. This was our first sort of HIV recruitment poster. Thank you very much.